Welcome back to Word and Table, a weekly podcast about liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship and why it is vital in our world today. I am here, as always, with Father Stephen Gauthier, canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest and the Anglican Church in North America. Welcome, Father Stephen.
Good morning.
We're recording again from Church of the Resurrection, our cathedral in Wheaton, Illinois. And Father Stephen, a couple episodes back, we talked about sacramentals. We talked about signs of the cross, these kind of customs that the church has accumulated that are used to remind people of various things about their faith. We talked about making the sign of the cross. And this week I wanted to ask you about holy water, because holy water is something you see in Anglican services as well as Catholic and I imagine Orthodox services as well. You know, the only time that I'd ever heard of holy water prior to that were in, you know, maybe vampire stories, things like Stephen King novels, stuff like that. And in those, there was just this kind of like magical power sort of thing. So, what is holy water really, and what do we use it for? Where does it come from?
Well, again, the symbolism of holy water is pretty obvious, right, with purification. But we already see a sort of foreshadowing that in the Old Testament. What did you do, for example, when a person became ritually unclean or space became ritually unclean, etc.? What they did, they had a special water of expiation. You know, they put ashes into water and they used that as a way of symbolically purifying a space, reclaiming it. If something has somehow been was unclean, reclaiming it for purity. And so we really have that in the church. That's really what holy water comes from, that same basic idea. But the fundamental symbolism of holy water is our baptism. You know, the power of our baptism. So that's like idea of cleansing, you know, especially restoring cleansing and a reminder of our baptism.
Okay. So you're baptized in water. You remind yourself of your baptism with water.
Right. That's where the power comes. That's where our life in God begins. And remember, one of the reasons we're not rebaptized, we can only be baptized once, is that, you know, it's like Jesus talks about this spring of living water. It's inexhaustible, and we're reminding ourselves of that, you know, inexhaustible spring of water in our baptism.
So tell me about the holy water itself. What's the difference between holy water and a bottle of Dasani that you get at the gas station?
Well, the only technical difference would be that actually there's some salt in it. Oh. You know, it's actually what makes it holy water is it's set aside. There's a blessing we pray over and say we're going to use it. It doesn't magically change. We're saying we're setting this aside for this purpose. And we have a blessing over it. And part of that blessing is putting in salt, which is a sign, again, of purification and preservation. Think about food and things, purification and preservation. Okay. But otherwise, it's just like any other water.
Okay. So holy water is really water that's been prayed over and set aside with a little bit of salt in it.
Yeah. And the prayer is basically to set it aside, saying we're going to use it for this purpose.
Okay. Well, who gets to use the holy water, and what do you use it for?
Anyone can use it. A very common use is when you come into a church, often an Anglo-Catholic church, as in all Roman Catholic churches, they will have what they call a holy water font. You know, sometimes it's standalone. Often it's simply to the door. And what happens when people make the sign of the cross entering, they will put their finger in the holy water and make it with the water. And that will remind them of their baptism. Mm-hmm. You know, it's also a sign of their purification. I'm about to come in and worship God, and I want to be reminded of my baptism and seek purification before I stand before God.
Okay. So so it would be used as you come in?
Right.
What other times during the service would you see holy water being used?
Well, it's not much used in a service. It's typically used for blessing, setting things apart. The other one use in the service is really a beautiful use is, remember back in the book of Exodus, where we had with Moses, and they were talking about the covenant with Israel. And what we had here is it says Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." So a beautiful ceremony we have is, again, the Easter Vigil is all about baptisms, right? It's the supreme festival of baptism. Mm-hmm. And so we basically, all of us who watch other people's baptism renew our own. There will be a symbol called the asperges. That's simply Latin for "you will sprinkle." From the psalmist says, "You will sprinkle me, Lord, with hyssop."
Okay.
"And I shall be clean."
What's hyssop?
Well, hyssop is just a sort of a plant. like a brush-like plant.
Okay.
And it's particularly good for if you put in things for sprinkling.
So like it's like a pine branch.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
A sprig
it's,
of rosemary.
It's really good for that kind of purpose.
Okay.
And so what it would happen is, so we're reminded, just as the children of Israel have the blood of the sacrifice, Moses sprinkled over to remind them that they were part of God's covenant, is we're reminded that the baptism is all part of God's covenant. And the baptism, we have seen, all of us are joined by that. So the sprinkling, as people go through, as the priests and deacons go through and sprinkle people, is to remind them, like in Moses, that all of us are joined together in that covenant through Christ as the one, you know, is the sacrifice who made it all possible.
Okay, so that'll happen in at the Easter Vigil.
At the Easter Vigil.
You'll have a priest actually dipping a branch into holy water,
right,
and sprinkling it on the people.
Exactly right. They'll take bowls and they'll take branches and they'll go up and down the congregation sprinkling people.
Okay.
In Roman,
whether you want it or not.
No. In Anglican churches, it typically is just the Easter Vigil, which is a reminder. But in Roman Catholic churches, very often it's on the main service on Sunday.
Okay.
So it's not
every
just
single
limited.
Service.
In some parishes, yes.
Wow, okay.
I mean, not every service, but their main service on a Sunday, their main Mass.
I've had it at a baptism. Will it sometimes be used at just any baptism service, or does it only have to? Is it only at
Well,
the
I
vigil?
Think we might be missing two things, confusing two things.
Okay.
We bless the waters at baptism, so that's not holy water per se. You know, so what we do is when we bless the waters of baptism, you know, called on God's power, because we reminded ourselves the purpose of that prayer. But for example, the Easter Vigil, we actually put a cross. We actually put the candle, the Easter candle, into the water as part of the blessing. And it's reminding us that the power of the baptism comes from Christ.
Okay.
It's not the water. So remember, one of the themes in the New Testament is normally when you touch something dirty, the dirty thing doesn't become clean, you become dirty.
Right.
Right? That's the norm. We pretty much understand that. So one of the things that's a big theme in the New Testament is it's completely different with Jesus. Anything he touches is the opposite way. When he touches a leper, the Gospels go out of their way to tell us that he certainly doesn't have to cure lepers by touching them. We have examples where he doesn't. But they'll emphasize he took the leper and touched him. And ritually, that was supposed to make him impure, but what we see is the leper is actually healed.
It goes the other way.
So the idea is that when Jesus touches something, he changes things, always for the good. He brings his... And so the idea of that special blessing of the holy water that we have especially at the Easter Vigil, but also at our regular baptism, remind us that the power of the water comes from Jesus. Jesus took water, which is normally in the Old Testament the symbol of death. The ocean's a symbol of death. It makes it into the source of life.
Okay.
So it's reminding us this is the power of Jesus that does this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Are there any other uses for holy water in service? Or just at any time?
Well, two I would think of, for example, again, blessing religious objects when people often bring like a picture of Jesus to the priest or something for a blessing, a new prayer book or something, as part of the blessing, often holy water is sprinkled symbolically to set it aside, ask for purification, that this is going to be used for this specific purpose.
Okay.
House blessings. Very often, again, it's like, you know, casting the enemy out, you know, as you're basically claiming all of this, you're claiming God's purity on all of this.
Okay.
So house blessings typically go around the house and you sprinkle holy water in each one of the rooms as part of that.
Okay.
Another thing is some Anglican churches more recently who have special prayer ministries often will have the prayer ministers will have some holy water. They'll have a little bottle of holy water and they'll put some, apply it to the forehead of the person. Again, as a reminder of the power that's already there from their baptism, reminding people that everything we need is already there. You know, in our baptism, we have that promise. That's why we're never rebaptized. We have that promise forever. And we're going back and claiming that promise, and especially the promise that brings us of purification. We never have to be baptized again because we always have in our baptism the source of all our continual forgiveness.
Okay. So really the bottom line is whether you're getting hit by holy water from the asperges or someone's praying over you or you're walking into service and you're touching a little bit of it and making the sign of the cross, think of your baptism and your purification in Christ.
Reminder of our baptism for us and for objects is simply to put them apart is basically to purify them in the sense of, think of it this way, so like a christening a ship.
Oh, yeah.
In some ways. It's putting aside in a very formal way. You know, we claim this, ritually put it aside for this purpose.
Well, thanks so much, Father Stephen. That's all the time we have left for today's episode. And thank you for listening to Word and Table.